Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports. Today on Sports Grid, time to get into some Monday Night Football action, preview the week ahead, do some early waiver wire analysis as well. I'm Craig Bish, along with George Kurtz here on Sports Grid for the next couple of hours here on Fantasy Sports. Today, we got you covered. We'll touch on the NBA DFS slate as well. George, great to see you here on a Tuesday, and you know, certainly not the most exciting Monday Night Football game in the world last night, but at least it was very different from what we've seen in the past, that's for sure.
Yeah, you said get ready for some Monday Night Football action. What action are you talking about here? Because there wasn't much last night, if any. An old school game. I mean, we've never seen this before, right? The Patriots set a record for most completion attempts, or I should say passing attempts with only three, and also set a record, tied their record for most completions with two. So good for Belichick. Mac Jones pretty much had the night off. That's really what it came to. Mac, just take the handoff. Just take the snap and hand it off to somebody. Your night's done.
Yeah, not much of anything offensively. And going into a Monday Night Football game, you needed 5 points from some of your guys not named Damian Harris. You probably did not get it. Here are our headlines as we begin the show here on the 7th of December, 2021, closing in on the end of the year. Patriots throw three passes last night, as George mentioned. The Bills get smashed 14-10 by the running game of New England on Monday Night Football. The Chargers, unfortunately, place Keenan Allen on the COVID list. So, of course, we'll have to monitor his status throughout the week for sure. Joel Embiid leads the 76ers to an overtime win against the Hornets last night. And the Heisman finalists have been named. Looked like this one could be in doubt, but at this point, Bryce Young is an overwhelming favorite over on FanDuel. Also, CJ Stroud, Kenny Pickett, and Aiden Hutchinson will be at the, I would say, probably the most uneventful Heisman Trophy Award in a long time, because at this point, Bryce Young from Alabama looks like he is going to be the winner. But the Keenan Allen news, obviously, George, pretty upfront today here, is that we just don't know at this point what Allen's status is going to be for Sunday, and has a really good matchup on deck too if he did play.
Yeah, disappointing, especially if it comes off a two-touchdown performance, actually through a two-point conversion, touchdown attempt, whatever. So we had a nice fantasy day. First time in a while we've seen this from Keenan Allen as far as the touchdowns are concerned. You know, and I've got him in the league, and the first thing he is here, he's out with COVID. Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah, I guess, listen, it is what it is. I don't think we're sure of his vaccination status either, but assuming he is vaccinated, two negative tests, 24-hour span, over the next 5 days, he can play. You know, and Staley, the coach, said, well, we hope to have good news here later in the week. Okay, well, we know what the good news could be. Once again, this is a positive test. It's not a close contact where he could possibly come off. So we need two negative tests here. Craig, I think we've only seen this as far as fantasy players this season once. I think it was Goddard. Goddard was the only player I can remember who went on the list earlier in the week and got off in time for the game Sunday. So that is what it is. But, yeah, I'm assuming I may not have Allen for the week 14, which is, in a lot of leagues, not your first round of the playoffs anymore. It's your final week of the season. And I guess I haven't checked. I don't remember. I hope I don't need to win this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, they're going to be looking at other options, and maybe even on the Chargers. Again, they've got a relatively easy matchup this week, so that's definitely in play for sure, no doubt. Going back to Monday Night Football, I know we're going to hit on the fantasy standouts, George, but that's kind of a helpless feeling in fantasy when you've waited till Monday night to play your stars. And I know there aren't a ton of fantasy factors, but, you know, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs on the side of Buffalo, like, you know, Knox, you're hoping for good performances there. And then you see somebody post on Instagram the fact that the field goals are just like not even kickable. And then, you know, you may end up losing. It's a pretty helpless feeling, I think, going into it. I noticed in a couple of my leagues, there were a couple of owners who only needed like 3 or 4 points and didn't even get it last night. I felt kind of bad for them.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to say I feel bad for anybody, but yeah, we knew about 4 o'clock, right? 3, 4. We knew it was going to be windy all week. And I, like, we talked about this during the week. But then you hear how windy it's going to be. And you know it's going to be a nightmare. It's Buffalo. Buffalo's bad as it is. And then you see the pictures of the goalpost. You see Adam Schefter in his early report looking like he's dying out there, right? Then you see they all got blown off on the set of Monday Night Countdown. They all got blown off. Randy Morse, Schefter, and I forget who else it was, got blown off their chairs as they were doing the show. I'm like, this is not good. You're not getting, nothing's going to happen tonight. And that is what it is there, right? I thought it was funny. Mainly I thought it was funny because it didn't affect me. I don't think any of my leagues, I don't think any of them mattered. Last night mattered. Other than my home points league, I would have liked a lot more points from Josh Allen. But other than that, everything was good here. But interesting game to watch. Not for fantasy purposes, though.
No, definitely not. And look, Sunday night's game was kind of like that, too, between Kansas City and Denver. Sometimes these night games, I used to just fairly assume that because the two teams were playing at night, everybody's watching, you get the best performance out of some of these players. But then things like the weather happened last night, and there's pretty much nothing you can end up doing about that. George, are you playing in leagues that are already in the playoffs this week, or does every league come down to this week for you?
They had a big argument in one league. I thought they did the wrong thing here. Apparently they forgot. You know, the commissioner, he forgot to extend the schedule of the extra week here. And so it became an argument here. Some people wanted extended, some people didn't. And my view is, once the season starts, you can't change rules. It wasn't in the rules, right, by the way, to change it to 14 weeks. He just forgot to do it. And, you know, it didn't affect me either way. I was going to miss the playoffs no matter what in that league. So I go, listen, it doesn't affect me. You can't change rules.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Everybody agrees. You get all the owners to agree. Fine. If not, you can't do it. So they still elected to extend it to 14 weeks. And one or two owners that were going to make the playoffs now didn't. Good luck getting them back next year.
Yeah, good luck with that in a pay league. All right, fantasy standouts from Monday Night Football. There were a couple. We'll have them next. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Before we get to our fantasy standout from Monday night, we do have a little bit of breaking news here on the show. George Kurtz, my co-host for today, is actually possibly going to our Sports Grid holiday party coming up this Monday. Now, George, I know this is a really big deal to even get a possibly out of you, so I'm looking forward next Tuesday to coming back with you and getting a recap of most likely why you didn't go. But on the off chance on FanDuel, they got you about 35-1 to show up. So I'm looking forward to cashing in that ticket this year.
I'd say you're about 50-50 on that ticket. I'm going to go. I will go. I usually don't go to these things. I will go unless I have to work. So I promised Mark Cardano and Sussman that I'll go unless I have to work. Now, the key there is actually Gabe Morenci, because I do his show on Monday nights at 1 a.m. I won't be able to do that, Joe. I'll probably be in transit because if I go, I'm not leaving early. I'll be there till midnight or so. So I won't be able to do the show unless he wants to hear me on a train station, which I'm assuming he doesn't hear. So if Gabe's going to have a heart attack, then I probably won't go. But if he's good with it, or maybe I can be on at 2 a.m. with Gabe instead of 1 a.m. So we'll see. But I like your ticket.
Yeah, 35-1 for George. I would say that George was the one that about 15 years ago created the opt-out for holiday parties. So this shouldn't surprise anyone that this is coming down to the last minute. He's on the reserve list for Monday night. Sorry, I can't go, by the way. Living in Florida, it's a little bit, I can't drive there, although I probably would get there before George. Okay, let's go to our fantasy standouts from Monday night. This is a pretty short list for both teams. If you watched last night's game throughout, I don't know why, but if you didn't, here you go. Mac Jones, if you played him, I'm so sorry, in fantasy. He was just 2-for-3 for 19 passing yards. Damian Harris rolled off a long run for a touchdown and 111 on the game. And then, very curiously, we didn't see him again. Ramondre Stevenson rushed more than 20 times for 78 yards. And then Nick Folk did a good job kicking field goals. Without him, they probably don't win yesterday. He made 2-of-2 and kicked 41-yarder, which was his long for the game. After the game, Bill Belichick talked about basically pulling out a win under adverse circumstances.
Good to get the win. We're proud of our players. These guys did a good job on all three units. We played kind of the way we felt like we needed to play to win. And, in the end, scored enough points. Was a lot of situational football that, I thought we, for the most part, handled fairly well. And, just got to give the players a lot of credit for just being tough, being disciplined, being resilient, and dealing with a really good football team and, conditions that were somewhat challenging. So, good to get the win. And, time to move on.
Buffalo in first place in the AFC East and locked into the number one seed. How about that one in the AFC? Well, we all thought Buffalo would be there. That definitely has not been the case this year. A win, a loss, a win, a loss. It just goes back and forth for them all season long. And Josh Allen yesterday had just 145 passing yards, 39 rushing yards, and a touchdown. I suppose if you only needed a handful of points, you got it from him. But if you needed a big game, forget it. Zach Moss, 21 on the ground, 2 receptions, 12 yards. He was active for this game. Stephon Diggs, 4 receptions for 51 yards. And then Gabriel Davis was the recipient of Josh Allen's touchdown pass. He caught 2 for 30 in this game. Obviously a very upset Sean McDermott after the game, basically essentially saying we knew exactly what was coming and we couldn't stop it.
Again, you go back and you look at it from a stats standpoint and you say, hey, do we have opportunities to win the game? You're darn right we did. You're darn right we did. And so why not? Right, why not? And you go back and try and solve that. We gotta do some better things on defense, obviously in that run defense, and there's no reason a run should go for 64 yards. I can see, hey, you hand it off 45 times, whatever it is, you get occasionally you're going to hit an 8-yarder or a 10-yard. That's going to happen. This is the NFL, right? But 64 yards, no way.
You ever coach in a game, Sean, where a team was so one-dimensional by design like that?
No, I mean, probably the snow game that we had against the Colts in 2017. But, that's the way they've played up to this game. That's been their formula, run. Don't make a mistake, play good defense, play good special teams. Eventually they'll take the ball away. And then when you add the weather on top of that, again, it wasn't a surprise. I can promise you that. It wasn't a surprise. And, you got to do a better job on the run defense and then got to score more points. That's the name of the game, scoring points.
Yeah, really rough post game for Buffalo, not just for McDermott. I don't know if you saw this, George, but a reporter asked Micah Hyde a question post game, and Hyde got pretty upset, went in on the reporter as he was walking out, essentially saying, you knew what was coming, why couldn't you stop it? And, the players looked down at the score sheet and said, well, look, what did we do? We only gave up 2 touchdowns. So I think the frustration for Buffalo's season, George, is now like kind of all spilled over, honestly, into last night's game, because if anything, in a game where you only need 15 points to win, you would have thought Buffalo would have been that team to just get to that number. But this, there's a reason why I guess Bill Belichick is the NFL coach of the year, and he proved it again yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, the question was asked, do they feel embarrassed about, well, how they played? And that set the players off. And I don't blame them for that. I think it's the wrong question to ask. Certainly not. I think you want the players to say they are if you're looking for that, but you don't want to ask them if they are. You sort of leave it open-ended. How do you feel about your play? And hopefully they'll say that if that's what you're looking for there. And which they might. They didn't play very well on defense. But we're all harping on their defense because Mac Jones only attempted 3 passes. I said, coming into the game, I don't care what the weather's like. If you're telling me they're only scoring 14 points, I'll take that. All right, we're going to win the game. I thought Buffalo lost that game more than New England won the game. All right, the second drive of the game, bring it to fumbles. All right, that fumble led to that long touchdown by Damian Harris. I think it was, what, 2-3 plays later. And Buffalo looked like they were going in for points when he fumbled that. They were about the 28-yard line or so around there. And that was the one direction it looked like you could kick a field goal. Bass had done that. Well, we'll do that 2 times later in the game. Dawson Knox dropped at least 1 third down pass that would have been a first down. You could certainly argue he dropped that touchdown or he had a chance to catch the touchdown. He dropped another third down pass. Granted, the safety made big plays on both, but he had a chance to make those plays. I know the ball was probably moving around like a wiffle ball in a windstorm yesterday, but that long throw to Stephon Diggs did hit him in the hands. Had a chance there. They couldn't convert is really what it came down to. And I think once Belichick realized, I don't know if they could score, and especially not a touchdown, we're just running the ball. We don't care anymore. You know, we're not going to do anything stupid. We're not going to have a turnover. We're not going to have a strip sack. We're not going to have an interception, anything like that. So he wasn't going to throw the ball anymore. He just trusted his defense wasn't going to allow that touchdown in the last, what, quarter and a half, whatever it was. And that's the way they came down to it. Great game plan by Belichick, and I think he is the coach of the year. By the way, I can't believe this, what's happening here. But I actually thought Buffalo lost that game more than New England won the game.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. Now, George, the two teams are going to play each other once more, and based on what we've seen in the NFL, you never know. Buffalo could, you know, certainly go to New England and win that game as well. But, you know, the end story for the NFL this season, really, when you think about it, it's kind of the Patriots. Like, I mean, this is sort of stunning to see them this good. And it took 2 years, essentially, George, for them to get over leaving Tom Brady. But within a very short period of time, they have the best record in the conference. Like, and to think that these two teams could play each other in the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay and New England, that would be something.
I think the internet might blow up, right, if it's Belichick versus Brady in the Super Bowl. I think it would be such dramatic theater. I mean, really unbelievable here. And you're right, it could happen. Now, listen, New England, they got to play Indianapolis after their bye week. Not an easy game. Indianapolis is playing well. Then they play Buffalo again. So it's going to be a tough road here for New England. But bottom line is, I think everybody in the AFC is going to be like, how the hell did we let Belichick get Mac Jones and he didn't...
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Make any moves. Didn't have to trade up. We gave him a quarterback for the next decade, regardless of how good or average you may think he is.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout here on Fantasy Sports Today. Our final bye week of the NFL season is week 14. We'll go through it now. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 14 of the NFL season is here, and believe it or not, there are still 4 teams in the NFL that have not had their bye week, so they will be looking forward to this. Some teams actually had a bye week, George, in week 5. Think about that. So from week 5 to 14, is certainly a very long time. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I said this last week on the show, this is the latest ever that we've had bye weeks in the NFL. So for those people who start playoffs this week, pretty unfortunate that they're not going to have some of their players. But I think for the most part, outside of Jonathan Taylor, and we'll go through the teams, but outside of Jonathan Taylor, you're not missing a ton. That's the good news here.
Why? I'm going to get on my rant anyway. Why can't we just have 8 bye weeks? 1 bye week for each division. Is this so hard here? The NFC East gets this week off, AFCs, blah, 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 but you go on and on and on. You started from week, 4? It ends at week 11 or 5 and ends at week 12. Whatever you want to do here. What is so difficult about this? And then you just rotate it every year. You know, okay, the NFC East gets week 5, next year be week 6, week 7, on and on and on. What is so hard about this? I don't understand why some weeks we have 6, 2, 4, and we're all over the place, you know, as far as what teams. I don't get it. It's the middle of the season here. It's not like you're worried, oh, my God, the entire NFC East is off or the entire AFC East or whatever division you think is the best division that they're off. The ratings are going to be great anyway. It makes no difference. And while I'm at it, by the way, why can't those teams, 2 of those teams, then play each other for the Thursday night game? Solves that problem of the short week there, too. Now, don't it? You know, I said it's not that hard. You know, I'm sure there's some reason the NFL will tell you why they can't do this or why it won't work. You know, the networks don't want to lose those divisional games, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. All right, they make it so much harder than it actually has to be.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, the London games throw everything off because if you go to London, you're, I think, promised to have the bye week or something like that the following week. But regardless of that, you will not have John. Well, you can move the London games, move them to George's backyard in Long Island. I mean, that's what I think.
It's pretty big, but I don't want my yard to get chewed up. My dog does that for me. But even that doesn't matter. If the Jets are playing, whatever, Tampa Bay. And the London game, just make sure the AFC East and the NFC South don't have the bye week the next week. It's not that hard. It's really not.
By the way, before we go on to the bye week, what happened with the guy catching the squirrels next door? Did that ever
He's still doing it. I don't know if he's doing it today, but he still does it. Like I said, good guy, good neighbor. The kind of neighbor who knows how to fix anything in the house, can always help you out there. But, you know, why he catches squirrels and then releases them about 10 miles away is beyond – we have squirrels. We have lots. It's not like you're catching a groundhog.
I understand.
All right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's only 1 or 2. It's a squirrel. There's thousands of them. What are you doing here? I just shake my head. God, Dan, do what you want to do. I just laugh. Do what you want to do. It's funny.
Sounds like a good video for this show, maybe down the road. All right, NFL bye weeks. Let's take a look at it. Jonathan Taylor, managers, if you have him this week, get him out of your lineup as well as Carson Wentz, if you're playing him for some reason. And, of course, Michael Pittman, that would be the other one. And, by the way, the Colts defense, I should mention, is top 3 defense in fantasy for sure. Miami Dolphins, Jalen Waddle, not going to be on the field this week. If you're playing Tua or Gaskin or Gesicki, I guess, would be another player potentially. For New England, Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris, Kendall Bourne, Mac Jones, all off this week. Their defense, I got to pick up a defense because I have New England. They've been great all season long. And then for Philadelphia, who knows if you would have had Jalen Hurts anyway. And the running back beyond Sanders has been dicey all season long. And Devonta Smith, some people are playing in the flex. Of course, Dallas Goedert is a starting tight end. I suppose I'm looking at this as a half full situation. It could be a lot worse, George, going into the last week. But imagine needing a win, having Jonathan Taylor on your team and needing a win this week. You're just not replacing him with anyone. But that's the biggest name off this week for sure.
Yeah, it's hard for me to feel all that bad for you, Wayne. We did have last week, we had byes during week 13, which once again could be the final weeks of your regular season. So we have had this before, just not this late as far as date is concerned. You knew this going in. You check your schedule. You go, okay, you know, this guy, and that guy have week 14. It's my final week of the regular season. I may have to eat it here. Yeah, so we knew this going in here. So it was like you were surprised. Oh, my God. You know, and somewhere in November, they told us Indianapolis was going to have week 14 off. So I don't feel all that bad for you. But, yeah, it's rough. It's rough. One of the guys we're going to talk about here, we talked earlier in the show, you know, Osborne, wide receiver, Minnesota, somebody I am looking heavily at because I don't think Adam Thielen's playing Thursday. But you may have to make a decision here. If you pick up Osborne, do you start Osborne on Thursday or do you wait for Keenan Allen on Sunday? Mm. That's one of the decisions I'm looking at here. And if I claim Osborne, I'm not going to know about Allen by 8:20 on Thursday. I'm not going to know. So I'm going to have to make that decision early here. And although I like Osborne, you know, Pittsburgh, good defense. TJ Watt may run wild going up the Cousins again. I don't know if I see a big outing here for him. It's going to be a tough decision. Osborne or Keenan Allen for me this week.
Yeah, I would say, and we'll go through the names, but the Thursday night games in general, you're right, George, have been low scoring. Let's also not forget Pittsburgh gave up 5 touchdowns to the Chargers 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, not impossible to see Minnesota putting up a lot of points in this game. All right, now in terms of waiver wire options, there are few and far between this week. Now, Travis Homer did have a long touchdown run, but it was on a punt, and Peterson did get a lot of the goal line carries. It is Adrian Peterson that I'm talking about, but they go against Houston, and you would think there'll be multiple opportunities for running backs on Seattle, maybe even DJ Dallas. George mentioned KJ Osborne of Minnesota going up against Pittsburgh. You got to make that call before Thursday. Amon-Ra St. Brown, pretty much an 8 to 10 point guy, no matter what happens now with the Lions, and maybe a little bit more. They go up against the Denver Broncos. Laviska Shenault, still out there for Jacksonville. It's been an up and down player on that team there at Tennessee. And then in a ton of leagues because he's had a pretty good year, startable tight end. And I suppose if you have Washington's tight end, you could probably pick up Conklin or somebody else to start him against Pittsburgh. So, you mentioned some interest in Osborne, George. Any names here or any names that I've missed here that you want to discuss?
Well, I'm with you on the Seattle running back crew there. Adrian Peterson makes another. He did nothing with Tennessee other than scores a touchdown in his first game with Tennessee. And then does the same thing with Seattle, right? Scores a touchdown in his first game there. Maybe that's all he's good for. We'll see against Houston. You're right. The opportunity should be there. Right? I mean, you should be able to score some points against the Texans there, and maybe it's not through the air, it's on the ground here. So I will have some interest in Homer. As you said, you can't replace Jonathan Taylor. Right? You're not doing that. But this is not terrible. Maybe you have Harris, you got to replace Stevenson, you have to replace, I guess it could go as far as Gaskin. You mentioned Sanders of Philadelphia. They got hurt again at the end of that Giant game. We just haven't heard anything about that. He looked pretty badly hurt, too. So, yeah, I think Homer's going to be great in a lot of leagues, and I don't think it'll be me doing it, but I'll have to look at it there. Osborne, I do like. St. Brown, I picked up before last week's game. Liked him a lot before that game. You know, a different kind of team he's playing. Minnesota, you beat them through the air, the secondary. Denver's a little different. They actually have a good secondary, so I'm not going to feel great about taking St. Brown this week. Shenault, you can make an argument that he's the biggest or one of the biggest fantasy disappointments this year. You know, maybe it's not him. Maybe it's Urban Meyer. Maybe it's Trevor Lawrence, the offense, whatever it might be. But I thought Shenault was going to have a big season. I mean, a good, solid season, Craig, and he's been invisible, done really very little here. This is a linebacker playing wide receiver. Like, how is anybody going to tackle this guy? He's going to run wide open in the open field. It hasn't worked out at all here. And as you said, Tyler Compton, if he's there, I'll take him in a heartbeat. Actually a decent tight end there, probably more in that 10 to 14 range overall. So he should be gone, but if he's there, as you said, you're a Logan Thomas guy or Hunter Henry or whatever it might be, Dallas Goedert. You're golden here. No problems.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple of other names to mention, by the way, coming out of that Seattle game against San Francisco, you mentioned Peterson. I think that if you asked me over under on Peterson getting 5 fantasy points, I may go over just because of the simple fact he falls in the end zone and gets a touchdown. He may be viable again to play this week. And on the San Francisco side, George, with late yesterday, I was finding out that Elijah Mitchell has a concussion. And Jeff Wilson banged up too. I mean, who are we down to now with San Francisco? Is it back to Hasty? Maybe Deebo Samuel plays this week and runs. But you got to pay very close attention both to Wilson and to Mitchell, because if either one of them doesn't play and the other one does, I want to start that guy this week.
Yeah, it's a situation to watch. I imagine one of those two that we just mentioned will play. Maybe Wilson feels better. Maybe Mitchell clears concussion. Deebo, they mentioned yesterday, he hopes to have him back. I kind of think he's not, or if he is, it'll be a limited role. He won't be at his full role, and maybe it won't be as a running back. You know, so he did get hurt running the ball as a running back, not a wide receiver, so they got to be careful about that. That being said, they're in a playoff push here. You know, it's like they're 10-2, 10-3, and can afford to wait for Deebo. They got to get him in there as soon as they can, and we do expect points to be scored in the San Francisco-Cincinnati game. So we'll see here. If I had to bank on it right now, it seems like players always clear the concussion protocol when they have the full week. I assume Mitchell will be back and Wilson will be able to play some role. I don't think Debo's back this week.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to. I really need Deebo back, but you know, I you know certainly can't count on him. I don't think so. And then the other situation we have to watch for sure, George, is Tennessee's situation. Remember, they're out of sight, out of mind last week, but Dontrell Hilliard had that huge game 2 weeks ago. McNichols is slated potentially to come back as well. And then, of course, they're just throwing some other guys out there to run the ball. But Tennessee is another spot I got to watch this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hilliard here. I think he'll be the guy. McNichols will be more your pass catcher, so I'll roll out of that. But I think Hilliard's the guy I'd want there if I had the choice. Julio Jones has also taken his three-week conditioning stint, so he can come back to three-week. Able to practice. So we expect he probably plays. Not definitely, but probably. Once again, usually players, as soon as they're taken off that list and they can practice, they play the next week. It's rare they need 2 weeks of practice before they get in there. So I would expect him to go. AJ Brown, however, still on IR. He's definitely not going. Tennessee's a mash unit.
Yeah. Foreman, let's not forget about him too, running the ball with Tennessee. All right, coming up next, it has been a tough year for NFL coaches helping us out in fantasy football. So rather than us taking a look at the NFL hot seat in terms of coaches, because there's a ton, George and I are going to talk about the NFL coaches that are on the fantasy hot seat, basically not getting any fantasy help from some of these coaches in the league this season. For that reason, will they be gone? Will they stay?
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins insulin.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hey, I'll have my top three, and George will have his top three as well. Also, a little bit of a shocker to see Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, fired by the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule, we'll hear from him on that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, the big question will be answered here on Sports Grid on Monday. Will George Kurtz attend the Sports Grid holiday party? There's only one place that you'll be able to find out. That is on social media, on Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. It will tell you exactly what time he comes, what he eats for food, how many times he uses the bathroom, and most importantly, how long it takes him to get there and get back home. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid. And at Sports Grid TV. I'm looking forward to Rebecca and our social media team posting all of those very important details coming up on Monday. So look forward to that. All right, now to less serious affairs. The Carolina Panthers ended up making a very significant move, a very rare move during an NFL season. We already have had 2 offensive coordinators fired. Of course, Jason Garrett of the New York Giants. You could see how great the Giants played without him last week. And now the Carolina Panthers have parted ways with their offensive coordinator, one of my favorites, in Joe Brady. The decision appears to be all from the head coach, Matt Rhule. He talked about some of the reasons why and how they're going to proceed forward with their new offensive coordinator.
I told Jeff this is about this week. We need to do everything we need to do to beat the Atlanta Falcons. He's a guy who's been a running back coach. He's been an assistant special teams coach. He's been a tight ends coach. He's been an offensive coordinator at the college level. So he's a good football coach, a very steadying personality. you know, he'll pick up the mantle and run with it. But, you know, to me, this is just about this week. You know, however long it lasts, you know, I think all of us in the organization, you know, we've had some ups and downs. Obviously, we have to just be really, really focused on each week. So this is for him to do right now. And then, you know, the future will be the future.
Matt, when you were looking at things over the week, what was kind of the main thing you landed on when you were coming to your decision, and why make it now with 5 weeks left?
Well, I think the decision was made, and so I didn't see any reason to wait. You know, I felt that this was the right move, and it was just purely football. I think you know, that this was in the best interest of us moving forward. I feel like we can play better on offense. That's not about any one person or any one thing, but I just feel like you know, this was the best way that I can help us move this forward offensively. And as I said, you know, I'm going to count on the coaches that we have, the players that we have. You know, we've got to coach our best and play our best these coming weeks. But I thought with the bye week that this was the appropriate time.
So Jeff Nixon, who coached with Rule at Baylor, will take over offensive play call duties. And, you know, in general, I don't know, George, if Joe Brady's a good coordinator or not. I certainly thought he was at LSU, and I thought he was even with Carolina. It seems to be most of the sentiment today has been discussing why specifically Carolina has gotten no fantasy performance out of their offensive team this year. And the easy reason why is pointing at the quarterback and Sam Darnold. And the easy reason why is pointing at the injury to Christian McCaffrey. But beyond that, what do you think, George? Do you think that Carolina made the right move here? Do you think it was desperate? Do you think that, you know, some people are speculating that Joe Brady had eyes on other things in the NFL and maybe this is why he ended up leaving? But quite frankly, to me, this caught me as a huge surprise, because as I mentioned to Davis yesterday, George, it is extremely rare to have an offensive coordinator basically interview for NFL head coaching gigs. Brady interviewed for 4 NFL head coaching gigs last year and then only to get fired 3 months into an NFL season. So this is something very unusual. What was your opinion on all of it?
Yeah, I think we were all surprised. I don't know anybody who saw this coming. I know when I saw it Sunday morning, I'm like, what? That can't be right. This guy was up for like coordinator of the year for the month of September, right? When things were going all that well there. Everybody was singing his praises, and now he's gone 2 months later. I wonder if something else happened here that we aren't privy to. Was there an argument, a fight? I mean, Rule did say some things like, I tried to get in touch with them to talk to them on Saturday, and I couldn't. And they just fired him. Okay, that's a little strange. We also heard there's some friction there that Rule wanted to run the ball more, and I guess Brady wasn't running the ball. Listen, there's a lot going on here in Carolina. They went all in this season. All right, they went all in. They made those trades. Got Henderson from Jacksonville. Got Gilmore from New England. Traded for Sam Darnold. Gave up draft picks for Sam Darnold. All right, and things haven't worked out at all. You acquired Cam Newton. Hasn't worked out. You know, well, Cam's good for fantasy, not good for NFL play. So things are not working out there. I think Rule's starting to feel some pressure here. Not that he's going to get fired or anything like that. He's not. But he's starting to feel some pressure that he made all these moves. Come up, snake guys. Yeah, you're not going to the playoffs this year. So I think a lot of this is on him. Let's say trying to maybe deflect criticism a little bit. Not my fault, someone else's fault here. But I think the bottom line is, I think there's something we don't know. That's my guess. There's some kind of internal conflict here that we're not privy to that led to this, because it doesn't make much sense to me. What is doing this going to do for you? You're not going to bring in some new OC or you're obviously going to change over the next 5 weeks. You don't have enough time to do that. You don't have a quarterback. You mentioned you don't have CMC. You have one good wide receiver. All right? Not going to happen. Just not.
Yeah. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see where Brady ends up. And I think Carolina's situation is really interesting on a lot of different levels. If you remember, George, and I know it seems like forever ago, but in 2020, before the season started, as we sat here and did shows on season win totals in the NFL, you may forget this, but Carolina had the lowest projected season win total in the NFC in 2020, and they surprised some people. And so I guess they kind of took that little step by getting rid of Bridgewater and going into Sam Darnold. You have to wonder, maybe that was part of the reason this year. But I think you're right. I don't think the pressure is there on Matt Rule right now, but I can tell you that you basically don't get to lose 3 years in the NFL and keep your job. So next year, when we have this hot seat discussion, I think that he'll probably be on it. All right. Now, in terms of fantasy, we've had a long regular season and we have one more week. But George and I have assembled a short list of coaches in fantasy that have given us no help whatsoever this season. So, George, I got my three. I want to get your opinion on that, and I'd love to hear who you have on your list. Of course, if you've watched the show all season long, then you know that I'm going to have Vic Fangio number one. Are you kidding me? Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, PFF's offensive line grades out Denver as middle of the pack and their quarterback the same. And they have been a disaster on offense all season long. 9 points on Sunday night. Just, you know, basically not running less plays than any team in the NFL on a weekly basis. I am looking forward to seeing some offensive wizard, if they have one, to take over Denver's play calling, because Shurmur, I don't think, is it. Joe Judge on the New York Giants. Look, you could say it's the GM's fault and they're just not assembled in the right way. And yes, they've had injuries to Barkley and injuries to Kadarius Toney. But the Giants are running it back to 1996, George. I'm sorry. The way that they play and they run the ball and just don't take chances. They're not aggressive. In the end, it's probably going to cost Joe Judge his gig at the end of the season. If Gettleman's gone, then Judge has got to be gone too, I would think. And we have not gotten any help there. Kenny Golladay is now a shell of what he was too. Just everything has gone wrong for the Giants. And you basically can play zero players, George, in fantasy on their team. Yes, I said zero. If you're playing Barkley, you literally have no one else. And then finally, Matt Nagy of the Chicago Bears, once upon a time an offensive genius, once upon a time takes over the Bears. Mitch Trubisky is drafted. He looks really good. They get Allen Robinson. They get David Montgomery, George. The Bears are back. And then within 2 years, this team has just completely fallen apart. They draft a quarterback. They don't play the quarterback. When they do play him, they got him standing in the pocket throwing bombs. It makes no sense. You know, some bad draft picks too. Anthony Miller ends up being a bad draft pick for them. Cole Kmet is not somebody that they've used nearly enough. They show bits and pieces of looking like a decent team, but that kind of went out the window, I thought, this past week. So for me, George, I got Fangio, I got Judge, I got Nagy. Just frustrating for fantasy all season long.
I have no arguments with any of those. I tried to pick different people because I saw your list and I agreed with your list. Hard to argue with that. Although it was funny, I didn't know, you know, Brett Levy, our esteemed producer, texted me and goes, give me a list of three guys, blah, blah, blah. And I read your list, Fangio, Nagy, and it says Jeudy. Who the hell's Jeudy? And I swear to God, I'm like, who the hell is Jeudy? I realized now it was Eric, or, you know, I guess a spelling correct.
Did I have a typo on the show? That's impressive. I'm usually the typo police.
And I couldn't figure out who Jeudy was. Now I know it's Judge here. Yeah, he should definitely be on that list. And all three of those guys, by the way, I don't know if any of them are coming back next year. All right, Judge is certainly gone. You said the reason. Gettleman's going to get fired, so is he. All right, if you're a new GM, you're going to fire your guy here. And Fangio, I would think he's gone, and Nagy's certainly gone here. You need new blood here. Anyway, so I tried to pick different people than you. I couldn't do it as far as three new guys. I don't think there's any way. You know, Nagy's my first guy there for the reasons you said, and I'm not going to go back on it, what you did. You're absolutely right. He just doesn't use his people. Come on, Bill Belichick. Listen, he's the coach of the year. He's the best coach ever, Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. But he hates fantasy football. How many years have we been saying you can't start his running backs? He wouldn't start Stevenson the first half of the season, wouldn't use him. This guy was I don't know what he did again. He was being deactivated. He wasn't playing, barely touching the balls. Damian Harris, Bolden, Taylor's coming. Come on. This guy hates fantasy football. Last night, okay, how bad the win was. All your receivers had zero. Zilch, Nada, Bourne, Myers. They had more rushing attempts than a chance to catch a football here. Belichick hates fantasy football. Hates it. And Pete Carroll, what's the new saying? Let Russell Wilson cook. We've been saying this for years now because Carroll won't do it. He keeps running the ball with substandard running backs, with a substandard offensive line. Let Russell Wilson cook. We've been saying this forever. I understand the last couple of games have been ugly for Russell Wilson. He's got a bad finger. He can't throw the ball or whatever. But that doesn't excuse Pete Carroll here. The only difference from my list from your list is that Belichick will be back next year. Maybe back the next 10, 15 years now that he has Mac Jones. The other two, Nagy, I don't think Carroll's back either. I cannot see Carroll and Wilson both being back in Seattle next year. I think one or both are gone.
So for the actual hot seat, this was the fantasy hot seat that we were talking about, but the actual hot seat, let's just run through it real quick. We've got Joe Judge and Nagy, who we both think are not going to return, right? Like, we got them at the almost 100% mark, correct?
Be shocked. Shockey. You said it. Gettleman's going to hire a GM. Got to fire the coach. And if you're a GM, you're going to want to hire your own guy. Yes, gone.
Okay. And then we have Fangio and Carroll, who are a tick down, but we believe those two probably are in their last year too. So that's four, correct? We don't feel good about people being fired, but we feel good about that analysis, correct?
I could see Denver making an argument for Fangio if he comes close to 500 and finishes 8-9, but I think they got to move on.
Okay, so that's four. So beyond that, I think Robert Saleh gets another year.
No, he gets another year.
Yeah, I think so. How about Cully? I think he's gone in Houston. I think it's one and done.
I would assume. Yeah, I think that was the last second. They're a mess in Houston, but the first thing they got to figure out is the Watson situation. Any new coach is going to want to figure that out.
So that's five, right? And that's just getting started, George. Like, that's not even with any analysis there. Like, really thinking about, could this happen? Oh, and then the Raiders will happen.
Right. Bisacci in Las Vegas. You know, does Urban Meyer come back? This has been a mess of a year.
It's true.
That would shock me if he says goodbye.
Yeah. I think at the minimum, we'll have five or six at the minimum, and maybe more. We could have seven or eight.
We do every year. Every year we have this. And there'll be a surprise guy or two, right? There's always a surprise that we didn't see coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Doug Peterson, that was the surprise last year. No one had that in Philadelphia with him being let go. Doug Peterson probably be a head coach for one of these teams next year, is a guess for me. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the show. The Hall of Fame named several.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
New players, older players into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And George and I are going to rap about that for a couple minutes. Stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
National Baseball Hall of Fame named new players through their Veterans Committee, Legends Committee, to the Hall of Fame. And several names, George, go in this year. It's not normal. Usually it's like one or two along with the BBWA. And among those names this year, of course, is Gil Hodges. This is pre-fantasy baseball. Jim Cott also goes in as well. So, you know, just kind of wondering your thoughts on those guys. Buck O'Neill is another one as well. I enjoy seeing guys who didn't get the chance first time around get in. To see a guy like Tony Oliva get in is pretty cool for me.
You know, when it comes to Baseball Hall of Fame, now all these guys, I have no problem with them getting in. I really don't. But I think guys should be taken out before they come in, and I just don't care anymore. All right, we're not the Hall of Fame anymore. We're the Hall of Very Good. It's really what it comes down to. So I don't care. I like Jim Cott. I like him more as a broadcaster. I didn't really see any of these guys play a little bit of Cott. You know, you're talking way back even before my time. So I don't have any allegiances to it anymore. I think a lot of it's political. I just don't care. I would take guys out first. I think there are guys in there, so many guys in there, who probably, you know, you're a good player, really good, but you're not Hall of Fame. I think the ones that get Hall of Fame is the best of the best, the great of the great. And a lot of these guys just aren't.
All right, well, listen, George, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion there. And in football, you know, they mandate to put in five players every single year, George. So would you do that with the NFL as well?
No, how can you mandate five players have to go in? Well, there's not five players that are good enough to go in. That is just silly in my mind. There should be no minimum. I hate the rule of 10 in Major League Baseball where they can only vote for 10. Well, there's 15 that year, which there could be, and there was in some years, in the last 5-6 years, a lot of guys that could have gone in. You can't have a minimum. You can't have a maximum. Some years there'll be zero. Some years there might be 12. I don't know. You know, so no, I don't think that's fair. I think it's just idiotic.
All right. Well, George has given his opinion on the Hall of Fame. Won't be called anytime soon to vote, is my guess. We got to take a quick timeout. Chris is standing by for the update here on Sports Grid at the top of the hour, and then George and I have another hour to go. So stay with us here on Sports Grid. We've got some NBA DFS to discuss. So we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Here's Chris Dawson. Great.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day. You see
it. Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.